All right, so we are back with a fourth episode, I guess. Yeah, because we'll be uploading this after our third one, which we literally just got done recording.
Yeah, well, like about half an hour ago.
What, man, what, has it already been half an hour? Like 15, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
That's
Oh,
fine.
let me do the intro song.
Okay.
Okay. What's the podcast name again? Oh, the poor rags, da 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 da, we're poor.
You added the weird part to it. The weird, because the other one you just did poor. This is an intro that after we finished recording our previous episode, my sister was like, "Oh man, I want to make an intro." And we talked a little bit about that. It, just a few minutes having some fun talking about that. And then we did a quick recording of the song that she came up with in her head. She didn't want to forget
Because it was
it.
that
And you know, because you forget things. And so that version that she just did right there was a little bit more advanced, slightly advanced.
That one was the poor Rikes, this is our intro song. Da 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 da. Poor or something like that.
Almost exactly, yeah. So anyways, we did a really long episode. It was an hour and a half by the time we finished it.
Yeah, so we thought we'd give you guys a break and come back.
No, and we kept wanting to talk more though. This is kind of like what we've done in the past when we would, and we talked about this when we want to just chat and just chill and hang out and whatever. So, damn. So we had a couple things that she wanted to talk about. What was the? Oh, so there were bacon and
How
but
we ended up in
initially
foster
how
care.
it yes, initially that was the main conversation she wanted to have.
So let's start with bacon. So I was craving bacon. We don't cook. We don't cook here. We don't bother. It's frozen dinners. When I don't know. I was cooking and then it got really hot and then I got out of the habit of cooking. And also at the same time I was like being really sick and like stuff like that. So I just had no energy to cook.
And I am way too lazy to cook, even though I do love, I think cooking is rewarding.
Yeah. I actually like the act of cooking. It's just I get so tired so fast.
It's so easy of like it's such an easy thing to do, but it does take that effort and energy and your mental state.
I spent 7 minutes washing dishes today, so we only have half of the dishes left in the sink. So we haven't had a clean fork in like a month.
I use plastic, so whatever.
I
I'm
like
destroying the environment
I
over
like
here.
I like real forks.
The bacon.
Oh, bacon. So I was craving bacon. I haven't made bacon, I think, probably in at least like a decade.
And we love bacon
And
too.
we love bacon. So we've eaten bacon at other places and ordered in bacon and shit like that. But I didn't want to spend a ton of money on bacon. But I had thought I had remembered. I don't think this will be interesting to anybody.
It's okay, go ahead. I'm
But
interested.
I thought I had remembered seeing some sort of prepackaged, like pre-cooked bacon or something like that. I knew I had gotten bacon jerky before, but the thing about bacon jerky is that there's so much fat and it just is cold. It just doesn't taste right. So it tastes good, but it's like the texture is a little. So I Googled pre-cooked bacon and I found it at Aldi for a dozen pieces for $2.89, I think.
Aldi is a grocery
Grocery
market.
store, yeah. And I was so I was like $2.89 for like 12 pieces of bacon. It's probably not going to taste very good. So I looked for a review and it actually said that like it was a 7 or 8 out of 10. I was like, that's decent. Like that's restaurant
I
style.
think
Like
that's a pretty fair score.
yeah, it's like and honestly, so I got a few packages a couple of days ago. And liked it so much that we just got 10 packages today. So with the ones we've eaten, it's we have 11 left.
I came into the kitchen and I saw a stack of freaking boxes of bacon and I was like, "Oh, she must really like this."
Well, okay, so here's the other thing is that they last. So first of all, you heat them up in 30 seconds,
Oh,
right?
20
20
seconds, which is
seconds for half a
incredibly quick,
box.
yeah.
Yeah. And also, they last outside of refrigeration for over a year. because they're not supposed to expire. Oh, it said July 2021. I guess we're in 2021. So 6 months. And so, like, that can literally last us 6 months.
It won't. It'll last us a week at the most.
Probably.
But it could last if you wanted it.
Technically, you don't have to refrigerate it, so it's not taking up space in your refrigerator.
Even if it did, those are pretty small.
Yeah.
So but yeah, there is a plus, I guess. We wouldn't have to worry about it. We don't have anything in the fridge, so it doesn't really matter. But it is nice if you do have a full fridge.
Correct. But also, it's just so cheap. And Jeremy's like, it's not cheap. And I'm like, it's so cheap.
Well, the funny thing to me about that is now, I don't think it's overpriced at all. I generally speaking, 12 pieces of bacon for $3 just does not sound overly expensive at all to me or anything. But I don't think, oh, that's an incredible deal.
It's like half the price of a regular
bacon. If you were to get it, No, so, but she said this before too, and I was like, well, I remember, now it's been a while since I got like a regular package of bacon, but I remember those regular packages of bacon would have a lot of bacon. It'd be like at least 24 slices and long slices. Those are the ones I would see.
I don't think they'd be 20. I think it was still a dozen. The only thing is that when they're uncooked, they're heavier and bigger because they shrink when they cook.
So that I'm not familiar with. I just remember like seeing bigger packages. Yeah. So I don't think it's a ripoff or anything. Yeah. I just don't. I'm not like, oh my gosh. But I think I would be if I went to the store and I were to see the same price or not the same price, but other packages for more. And I'd be like, oh, she was right. So I don't doubt you or anything. I just like off the top of my head, especially when I see a stack of boxes of bacon in our kitchen, and I'm just like, dude, I'm not thinking $3 for 12 slices of bacon. I'm thinking all of these boxes cost way more than $3. I was all counting them. I was like $3, $3, $3, $3, $3, $3, $3.
So it's like $30 worth of bacon, but
it's a good snack. It is worth it.
Like, and here's the thing. So if you've never had Aldi's, Aldi's bacon, it's like if you've ever had bacon at Denny's or IHOP, it's like that. It's very thin.
Don't say IHOP. Oh my gosh, you want to talk about PTSD? IHOP for me is a killer, man. You remember, right?
I know. You it was like cafeteria.
Oh
eggs.
God, yeah. No, never again. I never. And then the last time you ordered from IHOP, the omelet I got, not worth half the price that it cost.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
All you wanted on it was cheese.
It was still horrible. Did you look at it? I sent them. No. I tweeted it. I tweeted a picture of this omelet that IHOP brought us. It was $10, dude. No.
But their New York cheesecake pancakes are so good.
Okay. Yeah, this is the kind of funny thing is, like, sometimes you go to these places, all these different fast food restaurants or whatever, and some of their menu is really terrible, but then, like, something else on the menu is really excellent, you know? But no, I have not been a fan of IHOP for a really long time, and the omelet did not help at all. And I tweeted it out. I tweeted a message of like, "What are you looking at?"
Oh, I want to see how long we've been talking about bacon. 8 minutes.
You must be very interested if you're still listening to this podcast right now. We do. I mean, you know, it is a fun thing to talk about. Sort of. I know it's not like super. Whatever, I mean, it's just something we're chatting about, you know?
If you don't like cooking your own
bacon... We will be getting
into... Because you can cook your own bacon in the microwave, but it takes 8 minutes and it's so splattery.
Yeah. Right.
And so this, like, you put a paper towel on the bottom, put 6 pieces of bacon, put another paper towel on the top, go 20 seconds, and in 20 seconds...
Literally 20 seconds, and it comes out, like, as if you just cooked it fresh.
Not burnt.
Yeah.
It's, like, crispy/chewy.
That actually is the most impressive part about it. 20 seconds. Like, I'm impressed by that. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm vastly more impressed by that than the price for the box, you know? I don't... Like I said, I don't think it's a ripoff. I'm not super impressed by it. But I would... The 20 seconds, and it comes out, like, as if we just cooked this bacon.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. If we ordered out... like breakfast or whatever, we'd have to put the bacon in the we'd have to put the bacon in the microwave for 20 seconds anyway, just to get it hot again.
We'd definitely get here cold. Yeah. Okay. So no, and I mean, I get that too. I think, you know, you're catching the clock, but I've had fun to talk about it and thinking about the IHOP thing too. Now let me quickly say for it, because like, look, man. The first time, my first bad experience with IHOP. Now I remember when we were young, really young. I don't remember how young, but much younger. IHOP, to me, I don't know about you, but if you remember this way, but IHOP to me, when we were younger, was a fancy restaurant.
Oh yeah,
it was more expensive than all the places.
So this tells you how poor we are.
Yeah. Well, and also different times. You know.
Yeah.
Times do change. Restaurants.
I don't think IHOP has ever been fancy.
Oh, it was okay. No. I've always thought of IHOP as fancy in comparison to the other places we have been.
Because you have metal.
It was an actual
metal
restaurant.
Silverware.
Yeah.
You sit down. They bring your food to you.
Yeah. Not like McDonald's and such. You know, you get a tray of food and whatever, and.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, you put in your order, and then you go pick up your food, and then you take it to a table. There's nobody coming in to clear your table when you're
done. IHOP was much fancier than that. Yeah. So my first when we were younger, like I always thought IHOP was, you know, my teenagers, I always thought of it as like a fancy restaurant. and including when I went out with high school friends, like we would go to IHOP, you know, and I never realized back then that they went there because it was cheap.
To them, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. To them. Yeah. It was never cheap to us.
This is why we called the podcast The Poor Rice, by the way.
So, I always thought it was a fancy restaurant, even when I went with high school friends. Like, it was, like, the nice place to go. Like, I mean, there was another restaurant we went to when I was in a church group as well. But me and Crystal had been there a few times. It was BJ's. Was it BJ's?
Oh, I love BJ's.
It was BJ's, right?
That's where I ordered from last night, the French.
Okay, no, then it wasn't BJ's. What was the classic restaurant in, like, La Crescenta? Remember near United Artists, that rented restaurant right down from there, down the street from United Artists?
Oh, Rocky Cola Cafe.
Rocky Cola Cafe. What? That was a fancy ass restaurant, wasn't it?
No.
Are you kidding me? See, I don't know what fancy is.
So
now
it's in Montrose, so everything is at least $2 more expensive than it would be anywhere else.
It was really good though.
Yeah, it's decent,
their stuff
but
was
it's
pretty
like
good.
It's like a so it's closed now, but it's the style.
Oh,
of,
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Style of a 50s diner, and like you even have little jukeboxes on the table, mm-hmm, and then the straw thingy.
And...
Yeah, and like
all the classic stuff.
Yeah,
it was really cool. I always thought it was a really fancy.
I mean, they sell hamburgers and breakfast food. It's a diner.
So, fancy ass burger joint. All right. Now. We have been to a couple really, truly fancy restaurants with our family. This was incredibly rare. We went with Kenny and my...
Oh, the castle. What's that called? Castle?
So our relatives, compared to us, are completely rich out of their ass. All right. That's how I would see it.
They are middle class.
And middle class doesn't exist right now, generally.
Well, they're still middle class. Like, the middle class
considered,
is
yes,
shrunken,
yes,
yes. But they're still middle class.
If we were to have, as a society here in America, to have a middle class, that's what they would be.
Like, they have a house.
In comparison to us, though, they might as well be billionaires. But no, so we've been to a couple, like, truly actual real fancy restaurants where the food there, like, I remember I didn't want to order.
Really?
I didn't want to order food.
Are you kidding?
I
was totally into it.
And I was like... what am I supposed to, or I would look, of course, specifically for the cheaper versions or the cheaper plates on the...
Oh, hell no. I knew they could afford it.
I did not. I mean, it's kind of like when we, like, for example, like I said, like if we went to IHOP, we would consider it fancy, or Sizzler. Remember, we used to go to Sizzler. That was a special treat.
I knew we weren't paying, so I wasn't worried about
it. No, so for example, in comparison...
Although I do believe I didn't choose, like... I mean, I didn't get,
like,
a
steak
or anything.
You didn't go for, like, the most expensive thing, yeah.
But I did get a Mai Tai, which, drinking in front of family, that's fun, as an adult. But also... Also, it was disgusting, and I'll never get it again. It was so gross. I got it because it's like it's supposed to be a tropical drink that you drink while you're on vacation. For some reason, I thought it was going to come in a coconut. So it did not. It came in like a whiskey glass, and it was gross. I don't like the taste of alcohol, but like rum is okay, and flavored whiskey is, like, I can choke that down.
Well, so, all right, so I did not know that Rocky Cola Cafe was not a fancy restaurant. My sister knows this.
I mean, it felt fancy at the time.
It was,
but it's
really nice.
It's not.
Good, because not only, I think part of it is not just the more you spend it. It was also, like, a very clean themed restaurant. Like, it was nice.
I mean, it was very cute.
It was kept up really nice. Mm-hmm. It was... You know,
I mean, some of the booths were a
sometimes
matter,
depending on when you went, how busy they were.
Yeah,
you know, so that I can understand. Yeah, I remember sometimes we'd go in there and it'd be really busy, and it'd still be a dirty table. Like, oh, that's always horrible, you know. But whatever, like, you know, it wasn't a big deal. We're used to that. We're used to having to brush off the previous crumbs from the table wherever we go eat, you know?
I mean, honestly, when we were kids, McDonald's was, like, super exciting to be going to, so.
Well, and also, McDonald's food was actually good back then. Well, better than now.
Was it?
Better than now. I remember it, because I used to love their food. I used to love eat, like, I loved the taste. And now I eat there, and I'm just like, ew.
I never loved their food. What I loved was that it was exciting to go through the drive-thru or to, like, go in the... I always wanted to go... Like, what I thought was fancy was that they had the play area. Mm-hmm. And the, like, especially when
Which they don't have anymore.
Yeah, but when we were... Probably better now since COVID that they don't have them. But
I mean, normally you don't see that anymore.
We were in like upper elementary school when they finally came out with a really good one at the closest McDonald's, and we were like pretty much too big, but we just like were so into it that we went when it was like really like not busy, and we just went and played.
Because we had been in, like, it was, like, one of those ball things, right? Like, all the balls and the little things.
Yeah, and the slides. You could swim
through them and all that kind of stuff. Now, we had been in those a couple times before. We had been to Chuck E. Cheese a couple times here and there. We went as often as our mom could take us and stuff.
Usually on our birthday.
Yeah, it would be a special celebration kind of a thing. So, it wasn't normal for us. and when they added that one to the McDonald's, it was a regular McDonald's. And we were much older, you know, but we had always loved those things. So it was, I remember being so sad that I was too old to really take part in that, because I always loved those so much. I think I was around 14 or so, like, when they did that. And I was just like, dude, I know I'm too big and too old for this now, but man, we never got enough time in those things, you know, like, and they were always so fun. Anyways, we got into that a little bit. I don't remember exactly why. And that was fun. I don't mind. But yeah, no, I think it's funny to especially because I didn't even know that. I just found out right now that IHOP and Rocky Cola Cafe were not fancy restaurants. I'm so ashamed and embarrassed. Oh my gosh.
No, okay.
Not really, but I mean,
they're not bad restaurants, but they're like, they're again, middle class, not rich. But,
are they really middle class though?
Yeah.
The way we just talked about the really super fancy restaurant that's middle class that we went to with Kenny and Myra.
No, that was...
That's, like, super fancy. That's rich people stuff.
That was, like, upper middle class. Oh, that restaurant was upper middle. Like, that was a treat. Like, even for them, that was a treat. They don't eat there every night. Oh,
okay.
You know? That's not their McDonald's.
That was insane, yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, on top of a hill. I forget what it's called.
It was amazing.
So pretty. And I'd heard about it so many times, and I'd never been there. And
I would never think of... Only rich people would go there.
Yeah, there's a koi pond, and you cross a bridge to over the koi
Absolutely
pond.
Absolutely incredible! Like, holy crap!
It's built like a castle.
You wish you could go there every day, just as a casual. Oh, we're just gonna go here and get some snacks. Like, are you kidding me, man? Fuck, dude, just go there every day for lunch whenever you feel like it. Like, give me a break, please.
I bet you that like Disney execs do all the time,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the cheap stuff to them.
Uh-huh.
To them. To us, it's like the most fanciest thing.
That's their
thing
write-offs,
ever. To them, that's their McDonald's. All right, anyways. So, okay. Do you want to move into the next topic? Mm-hmm. We did talk about that a lot longer than we expected. It was fun. And we originally started bacon and then getting into talking about the fancy fast
food. Showing off our pork already.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, man. I was just telling Crystal about, like, earlier. Now, right now, I have a little bit more in my account thanks to Crystal, but mostly thanks to unemployment. But we're used to literally barely paying our bills. And this is not a new thing. This isn't just because of COVID. And fortunately, I have been working at home for a long time, so COVID didn't have that much of an effect on it. It did have an effect, but not as drastically as it has on other people. So we were very lucky with that.
Well, that and without COVID, I wouldn't be on unemployment because I quit my job and I didn't get on unemployment until like 6 months later when COVID was really serious. Yeah. Yeah. So without COVID, I don't know, be homeless.
Probably.
So.
So.
Poverty is fun.
this is something that we've experienced all our life.
Mm-hmm.
So as scary, like I'm especially being now in control in comparison to when we were kids, and we had our mom in control of everything. So she was the one that, if she did stress, that was on her. And now having taken over that stress is the, oh, I can't stand it, you
I
know.
know, I'm not one to like miss my childhood because it was a horrific, unending nightmare. But that is one thing I don't miss is not paying bills.
And
I mean, that
so
is one thing I do miss
you
is
do.
not paying bills.
Yeah. Oh,
I do miss not
yeah.
paying bills.
I'm like, I really wish I could pass it off to my sister. I am so sick and tired of having it. I am sick of it. Okay, anyways. I can't remember why I was bringing that up, but it was just something we briefly spoke about before we came back to decide and do another podcast. But so the story we have next should be interesting. Well, we didn't mean to get into too much of the food and the restaurants and whatever. That just kind of happened because bacon. My sister wanted to talk about bacon.
Dude, it's
It
so
is good
good.
though. It is. It's actually really impressive for a 20-second microwave bacon. Like it really is impressive. What is the, you remember the name of the brand? It's Applewood
Oh,
Farms.
Applewood
Applewood
Farms.
Farms. Applewood Farms boxed bacon, like fully cooked,
Yeah.
from Addy. Addy?
Aldi.
Aldi. Okay. All right. So anyway, so the main story we wanted is to continue into
Hashtag not sponsored.
was. Yeah, true. No, like, we're normal freaking people here, man. We're just talking about crap we get. We're not sponsored. We do also, by the way, have Skittles. It's the rainbow, man. That's my favorite candy, though. We have some
Not
Skittles.
to brag.
Yeah, and I'm drinking some Voodoo Ranger IPA.
And I am drinking tap water.
So those are our sponsors.
Brought to you by tap water.
And tell them what you wanted to
All
talk about,
right,
our main
so
story.
the story starts when our little brother dies, so it's already a happy beginning. So what happened is I was 7, Jeremy was 8, Bubba was 5.
Real quick, this specific story, again, just to cap it real quick, we want to talk about how we ended up in foster care
In
in the
foster
first
care, yeah.
place. Okay, continue,
Yeah.
sorry.
So for whatever reason, my mom took that hard and kind of freaked out a little bit, you know, overreaction, whatever.
Yeah, because she saw it. Our mom
Yeah.
watched our brother die literally in front of her eyes.
Yeah, he got hit by so what happened that day was she had had this weird like rash on the bottom of her feet and she couldn't walk. And so she asked the school to send Bubba home from kindergarten. He had walked home with her like every day. She'd go pick him up every day. And so he knew the way and it was only like 2 blocks.
Literally.
Yeah. And so he came down to across from where we lived. And then mom said she called out, like look both ways. So he did. And then he stepped out into the street.
This
Oh, he
was
waited for a garbage truck to pass. And then he stepped out into the street. There was a van right behind the garbage truck that Bubba didn't see. The guy in the van obviously didn't see Bubba. They smashed into each other and the van won because it's metal and he was like flesh and bone.
five-year-old child.
Yes. He was dead on arrival. The kid in the van did a hit and run. He was 20 years old. He turned himself in 2 hours later. Mom never wanted to press charges, but I believe that the police station did, so he may have gone to jail for that, which to me is really sad because he was like, that's you're 20 when you go in, you're like basically a child, and then you're 27 when you get out, and you're supposed to be a grown up.
The fact that he turned himself in too shows that this wasn't a purposeful thing. It was an
It
accident,
was an
you
accident,
know?
but I think he had also been identified, so I don't know how much of it was like altruism as much as he understood that he was already in trouble.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. I
But
gotcha.
I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
But there was no indication that he was speeding or on drugs or high
We're
or
not thinking he's
drunk or
like a
anything.
murderer trying to
No,
run people
it was
over.
like what, like 1 in the afternoon or something, like 2 or 3, whatever, you know. So he got hit and he got taken up to heaven, according to my mother, who witnessed the thing. Jesus picked him up.
Well, the way
Jesus
she described
came down from
it,
heaven. He picked up Bubba's body. He laid down his body and then took his soul up and they hovered above the scene
our
watching.
mom was
Now,
like that. She, what do you call that? I think it was visionary, but she saw these things
so
spiritually.
this was something that she had like been struggling with because it happened so fast and she didn't see any kind of details or anything and she was just like, God, just please please just show me what happened. Like, I just need to know what happened. So I think in a dream or a vision, she saw what happened. Yeah. He like slowed it down and got to walk her through it.
Now, just real quick. Sorry, geez. Oh, I was turning away from the microphone, so it gets a little less. But I mean, I'm also an extremely spiritual person. I used to call myself a Christian until I recognized, you know, it took a while, but I years ago, I recognized that I don't need to call myself a Christian to know God. This is just how it is. Like, I don't care, like, you know, whatever. And I can understand some arguments, like, you know, false gods and all that kind of stuff and whatever. I don't care. I'm not bothered by that. But anyways, our mom was, I'm not even on the level our mom was.
Well, our mom at the time was an atheist.
Really?
Yeah. She had,
I don't remember that at all.
She'd grown up in the church, and then she, at some point, started rebelling. She was just like, this is all bullshit.
And then, which makes sense, because a lot of it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially organized religion can be really stupid.
So when Bubba, by the time Bubba had died, she was not a believer, but
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
because we used to talk about stuff sometimes, and she, all to me, always came up as a believer.
Well, after he died, she became a believer again because she had to replace something. You know, she had lost something very precious, so she, in her mind, it wasn't like I'm going to choose to replace Bubba with Jesus, but she just needed. I don't know. She just needed.
She got what she needed.
Yeah,
kind of. She got she. Yeah.
She needed to feel like there was some, you know, I don't know.
Whatever, I really believe what she saw. I really believe that.
Well, so she, I don't know if she'd ever, like, genuinely stopped believing. I just know that she was very angry and she'd had a horrible life.
Well, it reminds me of you when mom died and you were immediately like, screw God.
Yeah, fuck straight that guy.
Up. Yeah, yeah. Lots of anger. And it reminded me of, and this is the weird thing about it to me, because like I get it, but it reminded me of like how people will be like, how could God exist when the world sucks so bad? And I'm just like, why are you blaming God? Well, look at the people that you could blame. These are the like, these are us doing these things and you're blaming God. Like, what are you talking? What is this nonsense?
Yeah,
you're just like, oh, if God existed, these things wouldn't. I wish it were that simple.
Yeah,
I do. And I would, you know, anyways, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt it.
Yeah, so anyways, so she had that vision of Jesus coming down to pick up Bubba, and so she started believing again. But she was also at the time, so she spent like 2 weeks after Bubba died not sleeping. Mm-hmm. And she didn't tell me when she was telling me the story that the reason she wasn't sleeping, is because, she was hopped up on meth for 2 weeks. Yeah.
I don't even know this shit. Yeah. This is what drives me fucking crazy. Okay. Now, my mom and my sister were very close. Well, closer than me and my mom. That doesn't mean I didn't feel close. Like, I knew always that my mom loved me. Always. I knew that. This was something that I could not deny, you know. But, I'm an asshole. Like, when it's just generally, and putting it into simple terms, very selfish, very self-involved. You know, I was in my own world all the time, and I was playing video games constantly. If I was at home. Other times, if I wasn't at home, I was out. I was gone. I was playing sports. I was riding bikes, skateboarding. Never home, right? So my sister had more time with my mom, and they were more intimate than me and my mom. Well, and me and my mom, I feel close. I feel very close.
I'll explain why that happened. So what happened was I had face blindness from my whole life.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know.
This was something I recently found out like a year or two ago. I didn't even know that either.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know I had it. All I knew was that other people just seemed to get to know each other a lot quicker and be more comfortable with each other than I did.
Is that part of your agoraphobia, maybe?
Part of it, probably, yeah. And then also, like, so I read on Wikipedia that people with face blindness also have issues like connecting to people. And I think partly is just because when you see somebody and you don't recognize them, you don't have that.
It's a stranger.
For me, like, I can have a really intimate experience with a stranger, like in a doctor's office or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if I ever see them again, I'm not going to connect that experience. Yeah. I have that experience inside me, but I'm not going to connect it emotionally with the person I'm looking at because I don't realize that's the same person.
I get that. That's pretty crappy.
Yeah. My face blindness was always, kind of like,
dude, my sister told me she didn't even recognize me every time she sees me. And I was like, what?
I didn't tell you that.
Mm. pretty much.
It takes me an extra second if I'm not expecting to see you.
Yeah.
But I recognize you. Like, if I'm looking at a picture of you, I know that's
okay.
you.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, the first time I heard of this, this was like a year or two ago, and
some
I was just
people,
like, what?
Some people have it so bad that, like, they don't recognize their own family members. Yeah. Mine was always, like, mild to moderate. I knew who my family was because I saw you every day.
Yeah.
But also, like, I honestly, like, I felt so bad after Bubba died because I was trying to picture his face.
Oh, yeah, no, I've had similar experiences and thoughts.
And I was like, I went to Mom and I was like, Mom, I'm already forgetting Bubba. And yeah. She's like, yeah. She just like, no, you're not.
No, I remember I've had that, like, I feel this deep love and connection, but I don't know him.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. So, but why were we talking? The difference between your connection to Mom and mine.
Yeah. So, we spent about a year and a half in foster care. Within that time, we had seen Mom a couple of times, but it had always been
visits, short visits.
Yeah. And I remember walking past her in the courthouse and Dina brought me back. And I, jeez. At first, like, as a kid, I thought.
Well, and in a courthouse, a place you're not familiar with and whatever.
Yeah. And at the time, I was like, I just walked by her and I thought I didn't see her. But what had happened was I saw her. I just didn't realize that was my mom. Mm-hmm. So Dina brought me back to my mom and she's like, your mom's over here. And so when I looked at her and being told that was my mom, I was like, oh, that's my mom. And then when she spoke, because when you have face blindness, you kind of compensate with other like senses. Mm-hmm. So like the way people like move or their voices or whatever, you recognize them more from that. So, you know, obviously as soon as she started talking or whatever, then I knew who she was. Yeah. And then, you know, like other than that, she'd visit us at Illy's. So I'd always hear her talking to Illy before I'd come in, you know, but when she came to visit us at Mrs. Lewis's, she came in and I didn't recognize
Mrs.
her.
Mrs. Lewis was one of our foster kids.
She was our only She's our only good foster mother. She was our last one too. So we finished out the school year with her and then we went back with our mom.
I remember you telling me that story when we talked about this probably a few years ago. I don't know, but it was a while back. But so when my sister was telling me about this story, when our mom came to visit us at Mrs. Lewis's, I didn't know this back then.
Yeah.
My sister didn't even know who she was.
Well, I thought she was a kidnapper because she walked through the door and she had changed so much. So, okay, she had gained weight. Her posture was different.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Her skin was gray. Her hair wasn't blonde anymore. Like, there was nothing.
Wasn't it? What color was it? Was it just darker?
Well, her natural hair color is brownish. Like,
really?
Yeah.
She was, well, I mean, I always remember her having, like, kind of dirty blonde hair. There was a point where she had
blonde, right? Yeah, when her hair was, like, growing out, it'd be, like, dirty blonde to platinum blonde. She always wanted platinum blonde hair, so she'd always dye it that. So that's how I always remembered her.
Okay.
Like, because it's not like you don't have any visual memory at all. It's like a blurry photograph.
Mm-hmm.
So she had blonde hair. She was around this size, you know, whatever. I'd never really, like, paid close attention to what she looked like because it didn't matter. I saw her every day, you know, whatever.
Which is kind of weird. Well, I think part of that, too, is the face blindness thing because I don't remember. It's hard for me to remember exactly back then. I do remember when she came to visit us. And I do, it's hard, like, it's not fresh for me. but I do remember, as far as I can remember, is that I recognized her right away.
Oh, yeah.
And then Crystal was like, when she told me this, she said she did not recognize our mom. And I was like, wait, was that not our mom? I recognized her, you know.
Well, it's funny because, like, I got there first. I had been waiting for her all day. And anytime I thought I heard a car, I'd run in the living room. Finally, Mrs. Lewis was like, I told you, I will call you when she gets, as soon as she gets here, I will call you. And she said it so firmly that I was like, I better, like, just be, like, cool from now on. Because she was not usually very mean. And I just, anything that,
bugging her, right?
That sounded approaching anger, I was very wary of at that point. So I was like, I better not run out again. But when she came in, Mrs. Lewis opened the door. And then Mrs. Lewis, who had been seeing me run to the door all day, is watching me look at this woman and, like,
not know who she is.
Well, it's not even that I didn't know who she was. I knew who she was because I knew who she wasn't. She was this bitch pretending to be my mother. for whatever reason.
Wow. Yeah, I forgot you told me that too.
That's and I'm crazy. Thinking like, I'm looking at her, I'm just like, how stupid. Does she think her own child wouldn't know that that's not her?
Didn't I like run to her though and like hug her and shit?
No, you didn't. Okay. So I'm still there and I'm just like, I'm just horrified. I'm just like, I'm just looking between Mrs. Lewis and Mom, and Mrs. Lewis looking between me and Mom, and Mom's just looking at me like, aren't you going to give me a hug? And she calls me Chrissy, which I just like, yeah. Nobody is allowed to call me that except for Mom.
What a trip, man.
So you finally come out. and you like glance up at her and you're just like, hi.
I must have been upset of something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you were a little bit resentful of like, really? I think maybe my guess, and I can't say what your feelings were.
I remember that though. I do remember that now that you mention it.
I remember looking back at that thinking like,
I don't remember why I was upset, though.
I would imagine that, like, after a year and a half of having seen her on and off, and having been through so much, maybe you just didn't trust that we were actually going to go home with her, that she actually cared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even when we told the judge, like, who we wanted to live with, you wouldn't answer.
Really?
Yeah.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah. Wow. We had a custody thing, and the judge was like, if you could go back to live with your mom, would you want to? And or actually, he asked, would you live with your mom or your dad? And I said, my mom. And then Jeremy...
I would never pick my dad.
But he said, what about you? And he was like, I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he said, well, if you could go back to live with your mom, would you? And because he was trying to get an answer out of you, and you were like, I guess.
That does sound like me right there.
I was so confused by that. Wow, but yeah, that's so horrible. When she came to visit.
Poor mom, too, to have to go through that, too. That sucks.
Yeah, so I'm, like, standing there staring at her, like, just furious. And I didn't know what to do. I was 7. I was like, Mrs. Lewis might not believe me, but also, like, she's closer to Mrs. Lewis. She might hurt her if I tell Mrs. Lewis, and Mrs. Lewis believes me and tries to get her to leave. So I'm like, I'm waiting for you because you're my big brother. And you walk in and I'm just like, okay, he's going to tell her off because she's not our mom. She's some weird kidnapper.
So I remember recognizing her.
Yeah. You looked at her for like half a second. You're like, hey, and like looked down at the ground. And then I'm looking at you trying to make eye contact. Like, just look at her closer. Just look. You can tell that's not her. You just have to look at her.
Man.
And then you look at me and I'm just staring at you, like trying to will you to understand. Mm-hmm. And then you just like glare at me because you don't understand why I'm staring at you.
I think I was waiting for you to make a move.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
So... And then I'm just like, how does he not know? So then Mrs. Lewis is like, maybe you guys can go outside and sit on the lawn and talk. And I'm just like, okay. So I was, I went first because I wanted to see if there was a van outside, a white van. Kidnappers always have white vans. And I wanted to see if there was a white van outside so that I could wait for Mom to be outside or this kidnapper bitch to be outside, and I'd like slam the door closed and then get to the phone, call 911.
This is the planning of my sister was 7 years old.
I was 8 at that point.
Okay. Bring it out, man.
So I go outside, there's no white van, I don't need to shove you back inside and call Mrs. Lewis, but I am keeping an eye out for a white van. You're like wandering around the perimeter of the yard, just like kicking bushes and just like not making eye contact.
I remember that.
And Mom's like, Chrissy, come sit down. Come sit down. And I was just like, oh, this bitch is trying to call me Chrissy. Finally, like, her tone of voice, when you're talking to somebody that you're trying to be on your side, you're going to talk in a nice, nicer tone of voice than you usually do. But finally she goes, Crystal, sit down. And then I recognized her.
Her being me. No, she took charge, basically.
And I was I was like, I looked at her and I was like, how did this stranger just sound exactly like my mother? And I looked at her and I was just like looking for like, I was just like, Mom had a mole. This bitch has a mole. I think I vaguely understood that you could change your hair color at that point. and people can get bigger, like people can get bigger.
Yeah.
Smaller, changed, so I'm just like trying to like, and so I sit down. I'm still not sure this woman is our mother. I'm just 98% sure she's not. But there's, I don't see a white van. Like every time a car passes, I turn around to make sure it's not a white van. Mm. And Mrs. Lewis fortunately was kind of like on, like she had like a lot of property. Yeah, so it was nice. Like her house was next to a, like a huge vacant lot. It was across the street from a huge vacant lot.
I always think of it as a farm, even though it wasn't like a farm.
Well, because there was chicken and a horse
and there was a
big
lot
scary
of,
dog.
Like the land.
Yeah.
And a lot of the land.
A lot of land. Yeah. And then there's two houses. To me, like, Mr. Lewis's bungalow was, like, a second house, because I didn't know the difference. Yeah. So I sit down, and she starts talking about how we're gonna, like, go live with her, and I'm just like, because I'm just like, at this point, I'm just like, I'm just gonna humor this bitch until my real mom shows up. And then I'm not convinced that that's mom at all, even by the time she leaves. But I'm less, like, reticent. And I remember talking to Mom about that later. I was like, what, did you wonder why I was acting so weird? And she's like, I just thought you were angry.
Right, yeah, that's because that is a natural kind of a, like, it's kind of like me. Like, I still have no idea why I was upset. I can remember that, but I can't remember why, you know?
I mean, first of all, you'd never been particularly treated well by her, let alone by any of the other people who are supposedly supposed to take care of us.
No, you say that, but we talked about that before. I don't remember being mistreated by her.
I remember, I remember a few, so I don't remember a ton about her childhood, but I just remember you always being in trouble.
That was my, I was a little bastard. Are you kidding me? I was a troublemaker. I was a little bastard for sure.
I don't agree with that assessment. Also, here's the thing.
I remember. I know what I was.
When children are acting out, there's usually a reason for it. Like children aren't born bastards.
But you. I mean, that's a whole nother.
Technically, you could be a bastard. Subject, but
I mean, no, I mean, we do things that we're kids are kids.
Yeah, you weren't a bad kid. You were just a kid.
Oh, I was a little... I'm telling you, I was a little bastard.
I remember how often I was frustrated with you, but I also remember being frustrated, like, why can't he just, like, do what he's supposed to do, like I do? Because if you do what you're supposed to do, you don't get in trouble.
Right?
Mom doesn't pull off her shoe and fucking like beat you with it. Or break spoons on your ass.
I was not into doing what I'm told. Never have been.
Because here's the thing. Mom was out of control most of our childhoods. She had bad taste in friends. She had very little family support. The family that she did have...
Was like I said, I can understand now why she
She was the black sheep. She was also the only non-Christian at that point. I think probably still is. I think they're all still Christians, even Robert, who's a thief and a child molester.
We're talking about, like, now, and again, I care for our relatives, but they are, I mean, like, if I were to simplify things, they, to me, they seem like psychos. Just when we're not on a personal, like, when we're hanging out, if we're
political
together,
psychos, personal friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, political psychos, personal friends. Like, yeah, no, that actually, and that does, that is a, that matters.
Yeah.
That truly does matter, because it did. Anyways, so I don't know if you had much more specifically on that.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not even near done.
Okay.
To me, these stories are very, like, closely, because they define my childhood. Mm. So I remember them, and they mean a lot to me. So, and this is actually...
I don't remember Mom ever being abusive specifically, like our dad, because our dad was, we left him when I was 4. My memory sucks ass, and I will never forget that he was literally just a random abuser.
Well, he was cruel, right? Mom wasn't cruel, she was
angry. I would get punished by her for doing something bad, you know.
Okay, and so when we talked about this previously, I'm not sure if it's on the deleted one or one of the ones that went up, but when you do something wrong, you're supposed to be punished, but it's supposed to be in...
Oh, equal to the...
Equal to what the crime was. Yeah,
I think that was during the...
And I think also to your understanding of what the crime is due to your age and your ignorance and all that kind of stuff.
It's not like for, like, in comparison to someone getting arrested for possession of weed and then going to prison for 20 years, it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like the punishment doesn't match the crime or whatever,
exactly.
Kind of thing.
And so I think in Mom's case, it was more a matter of, like, neglect due to like drug addiction slash her own mental illnesses, because she had depression, so sometimes she'd be disassociated. So even though she loved us and she did the best she could as a mother, it still sends signals to the child's brain that you're not being taken care of properly, and you don't understand that. And so you just end up chaotic.
You analyze stuff like that, but I never felt that way.
I know, you didn't feel that way. You thought that if something bad happened to you, it was your fault.
That's because I still see it that way.
I know you do, and that's really upsetting.
Well, I mean, like, you know, if I break it, again, there's a difference between doing something wrong and the punishment not fitting that.
Yeah.
That whatever.
Yeah. And I think that she overpunished you sometimes and she underpunished you sometimes. Yeah. And those send mixed signals.
That doesn't mean I didn't do something wrong, though.
Right, but it doesn't mean that it's not... It doesn't mean that it doesn't fuck you up. If, you know what I mean?
Like, well, I don't know, again...
I'm not saying her intention was to fuck you up. Like, I think... I don't remember Dad at all, except I did. I'd have one memory of him. It is a bad memory.
Mm-hmm. I can still picture that house. I can literally picture the house we lived in, two-story house.
I mean, I know, crazy. I must have loved him, because when I found out that we were moving, I invited him to come with us, and Mom had to change the date of our leaving.
I did not know that. I don't think I did.
I didn't know that until I was like an adult. Mom finally told me that. I thought that was weird and hilarious. So, you know, because you don't have an understanding as a child. You love so unconditionally. You love who's around you.
I didn't love our dad, never.
Well, I think you have learned to not.
No, I don't know. I do not have any good memories at all. Yeah. I do not have any love for him.
I don't have any good memories of him either, but I must have loved him at some point.
And I never felt any love for him.
And maybe the other reason you have kind of a higher opinion of Mom is just because you're comparing the two, and he was so horrific that her injustices just don't seem like anything.
No, past that. I just recognize that our mom loved us. That's all.
She did love us, but there was also abuse and neglect.
So
to get back to
the reason we ended up in foster care.
Okay, but let me finish this story first. So we finish with Mrs. Lewis. We get back to living with this bitch that I don't believe is our mother.
And she was amazing, man. She did so much for us.
She had decorated our rooms beautifully. Like everything in our room was wrapped, like hairbrushes, clothes, everything.
It was a present. Everything was a present.
Yeah. And she had tried to match what she thought our styles would be. I had like girly strawberry shortcake stuff and like whatever she could get at Pick and Save that was like name brand. And then anything that wasn't, we should just get as close as possible. Mm-hmm. And then your room is all nautical and cool and like brown and gray, brown and like navy blue. Mm-hmm. And just again, everything all wrapped up and just like, cool.
It was like every day was almost Christmas.
Yeah. And
for a long time.
We'd come home every day and there'd be a present waiting for us on my sofa bed, on your bed.
Yeah.
And she stopped doing that when I came home. Well, I'd been kind of an asshole. Well, I was an asshole because I didn't think she was my mom.
That's so fucked up, man. Oh my gosh, dude.
So I wasn't treating her well. And so, like, this stuff she'd give me, I'd just be like, whatever, what's next?
It might have worn off on me. I don't know. But I remember that was amazing,
though. But I came home one day and I was like, where's my present? And she's like, you don't get one because you don't appreciate them.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember being so crushed.
That's so funny.
You know you deserve it, but also, like, you don't want it, you know?
That's the whole, appreciate what you have or whatever thing, right? Like, yeah. And then when it's gone, you're like, oh, wait, what?
But there'd also be other times, because I'm not saying she was a terrible mother, she, like, was, like, all the time or whatever, but she was a fucked up person, and so that reflected in her parenting. But there'd be also other times where I'd just be like, I don't feel good. I feel bad right now. And like nothing physical, but I was just like, I just feel bad. Just, mom would be like, do you need a treat? And I'd be like, what? The first time I was like, what? And she's like, do you need a treat? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, do you want a special surprise? And I was like, Yeah, because she'd like buy stuff for us to save up for our birthdays because she couldn't like treat
Yeah.
us every day. And then obviously, when she was treating us every day, then we weren't appreciating it, or I wasn't. So she'd just like have these little presents. It'd be like a candle or whatever. She'd be
I
like, you
feel
can choose from this
so
or this.
horrible even now, the way I treated her and just remembering all this stuff.
So here's the thing. I feel bad for every time that I mistreated her, but I also understand that the reason that I did was because I was hurt and I was lashing out. And had we had a more stable childhood, either from her parentage or from any of the other ones, then we wouldn't have been so angry and we wouldn't have been such dicks, I think.
Well, it's such a weird thing because she didn't have it easy either. You know,
No,
it's
she didn't. Oh my God. Are you kidding?
that's why I always write
Yeah.
she did the very, very best I can,
I
you
believe
know.
that 100%. I'm not saying that she could be abusive or she could
No,
be
I know.
neglectful because I hate her or like whatever. I'm not mad at her, but I also have to recognize that there was damage done that I need to repair now. And part of it was just the fact that she was such a fucked up person that she fucked me up.
See, I think we just have different perspectives on
Yeah.
that. Because that's something we can't agree on.
Yeah. Well, and because you take responsibility for your mistreatment, you know.
What a trip, man. All right, so.
Anyway, so the point of that was, we get back to live with her. It takes me a few. So I'd kind of go in and out of believing she was our mom because, oh, and but this is why. Okay, so I was like, so we go to live with her. I'm walking home from school and I'm just like, I'm gonna prove that this bitch isn't our mom. So I'm gonna go and I'm gonna ask her a bunch of things that mom would know, but this bitch wouldn't know. So I got into the habit after school every day of going to talk to her and question her about our childhood. The problem was, I remembered so little about our childhoods that I couldn't prove her wrong. If she was making it up, there was no way for me to know. But I got into the habit of talking to her, and I kind of liked her. She was, I kind of liked her. I liked talking to her, and she was interesting. And also, if she was my mom, she was really cool. And if she wasn't my mom, she was like cool, but also like, why is she doing this? So I was confused, but I was also kind of waiting for my real mom to show up at
What a
some point. I was like,
trip.
I knew she would find us because I knew our mom loved us, so I knew she would find us eventually, and she'd beat the crap out of this bitch, But also, like, there were things that would happen. Like, she would interrupt. Like, I remembered Renz, and Renz acted like that was mom, and he was living with us, so.
You're such a
And then like family would come over eventually, like and they'd be interacting with her like she was her. And so it would convince me, but then like once in a while, like every 6 months or so, I'd wake up from a nap and just like panic, like, oh my God, I've been treating like this woman like she's my mother. Like I fell for it. And I'm like, how could he trick me? It was such a mind fuck of like what's that called when you get kidnapped and then you like
Oh, the
your kid.
syndrome thing or whatever,
Yeah.
right? I see
Stockholm
it.
syndrome.
There
So it was just like, this bitch has got me with the Stockholm syndrome, which I didn't know the name for at the time. But I was just like, how did she win me over? How was I so stupid? And then I'd get angry and then I would lash out.
Wow.
And then because I'd get cold, I'd get
That's
really
so
cold
messed
and
up.
like, yeah. So that was like, that went on
It's
for
so weird because you had this anger towards her for that. Like this belief that she's not our mom.
At the time, I had no anger at her for being a bad mom
And
or,
I
yeah.
would just get angry at her for trying to control me.
Well, because here's the thing, she didn't know when to fucking let up. Like, because here's the thing, like, you were stubborn and she was stubborn. She was more stubborn because she had more practice. But you were pretty fucking stubborn. Like, I remember one time there was this, like, weird bean disgusting soup that she tried to make us eat. And I choked mine down and I did not like it.
I don't know. I can't remember what I did, but I would not eat it.
You would not eat
It
it.
was so
You would not
gross.
eat it. And so you didn't eat for
Oh,
days. And you were like, can you sneak me some bread? Just sneak me a piece of bread. And so I snuck you a piece of bread and mom caught us.
I remember that. I forgot about
And she
that.
screamed at me and I was mad at you. because I'd been helping you, and then I got in trouble. That's
pretty terrible. That's definitely a really bad memory.
And then...
Because it really was like that, right?
So she comes home with McDonald's, like, on day three. Mm-hmm. And you're so fucking hungry. And
shit, yeah.
And she's like, great, you can have McDonald's as soon as you finish this soup.
Did I eat it? I don't remember if I ate it.
I think you had, like, 3 bites and she finally, like, gave up.
Wow.
And she was like, all right.
It was so gross.
It was so gross. I didn't like it either. She never made it again.
Man, our poor mom, man.
What? Okay, why would you say that? Story.
No, that is fucked up, but I mean, you know, like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just
a matter of, like, her being so fucked up. She didn't understand where to stop with the discipline.
But I mean,
you know,
yeah. No,
you don't starve your child for 3 days.
I don't. Did she really though?
Yeah.
Did it not get any small leg thing? Man, that's fucking. She didn't crazy. Really have. Anything. I don't remember. I do remember kind of basically being starved for 3 days.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah. Because I also remember that bread part.
Yeah. I was like, no, I don't want to get in trouble. Because here's the thing. Like, I was... Okay.
Wow, man.
The thing that happens when you're overpunished is you get afraid of any punishment. Mm. You don't want to do anything wrong.
But I just could never... That never worked on me.
That never worked
on me.
Do
you remember when we...
You were like, if... Okay, so your trade-off was... I get to do whatever I want, and they get to do whatever they want to me.
Right.
And mine was...
Yeah.
And mine was...
Let's go, dude.
If I don't do anything wrong, nothing wrong will be done to me.
And I remember, what?
Here's why that's fucked up. Because you grow up, and as an adult, you realize there aren't enough rules for you to follow to keep you safe. And also, the bullshit they were pulling on you was arbitrary nonsense due to their own fucking mental illnesses, had nothing to do with you. You weren't doing anything wrong most of the time. And even when you did do something wrong, they were over that's fucking reacting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For not liking beans.
And
freaking hell, man.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, like, because I wasn't just overpunished by her, overpunished or underpunished, because she did not know how to, like, fucking regulate herself. Mm. But, like,
I don't know. I'm not a parent, fortunately, for any kids,
right?
But you know me too. Like, I overreact when I'm angry. You know,
We all do. And I think that all kids deal with parents who are uneven in their emotions,
also
right?
Also figuring out things.
Because they're human. Yeah. They have human parents, and parents aren't perfect, and they fuck up, and whatever. I think that the difference is that mom was so ill-equipped to be a stable influence. Plus, she was on drugs and drinking all the time. Like, that doesn't help, you know? So, I mean, I genuinely believe she did the best she could.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely believe that. And I love her, and I miss her, and I would trade.
I probably still somewhere have notes that she used to leave us.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
We do. I have a stack of stuff.
Man. I mean, she tried her very best.
She really
know?
Did. Yeah. She really loved us as hard as she could when she was capable of it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But I also, for my own sanity, I have to understand where she fucked up so that I understand why I'm fucked up.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that difference too. It's kind of like, to me, in a way, it's like people like knowing their ancestry and their history and stuff. And I could not care less.
Oh.
You know?
Well, no.
Like,
so
there's
I was...
a different thing. You know, I just don't, I'm just like, whatever. I don't need to analyze it. Like,
well, the other difference is you've always been an independent person. Mm-hmm. You've always been independent from her. You've always seen yourself as a separate person. When she died, I had such a small clue of who I was that I was completely lost because I didn't know who I was without her. She was like, I was like the arm and she was the rest of the body.
Wow. Yeah.
That was how little of a sense of identity that I had. And so maybe that's why I'm so analytical about where she fucked up. But also, like, I want to look at her honestly.
Mm.
Because it doesn't... Love, unconditional love doesn't mean anything.
Are you saying I look at her as a liar?
No, but I think that you...
I think it's a different perspective.
Yeah. But I don't think that I can call it unconditional love if my condition is that she was a great person who... did her best and just ignore anything bad that she did.
Well, again, you gotta
have to be able to recognize that she was a human being.
That's why it's a different thing.
She's fallible.
Yeah.
And I love her so much more than, you know, anybody else on the planet.
It's like I said, I know that we had plenty of issues. Especially that story we just had about the beans one. Like, I forgot about that. It's what a weird, messed up story.
Yeah.
That is terrifying. That's torture.
Yeah.
But, man, God, thankfully I think that was literally the worst thing I ever experienced with her, you know, as far as punishments go. I think that was the worst out of everything.
I can think of some other things, but that was probably the worst. But to explain why I felt the need to be close to her was partly because I was trying to make sure that, you know, I was trying to, oh, the other reason was like, okay, I'm gonna pretend like I'm going along with this bitch until my mom shows up. And to do that, I have to be friendly, you know? And then also, like, just like, who is this person, you know? Who would pretend that this is this person's mother? And it was just so confusing that you didn't realize that that was mom. But also, you wouldn't look at her. So anyway, but that's just to explain, like, it wasn't a deficiency on your part of why you didn't get to know her better. Like, I think you got to know her as much as your personality dictated, and I got to know her as much as my personality dictated.
Well, we just had different relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, it's because you're a selfish asshole who's lost in your own world.
Oh, that is just
that's
something I
recognize. The reason I got to know her was out of suspicion, fear, and fury. Not love.
Well, I get that's your thing. But I mean, that's how I was though. I mean, all I cared about was video games always.
Was at home. When you're a kid, you're supposed to only care about yourself.
Well, that's so okay. So, but that hasn't changed though, man. You know.
I don't know. I don't think that's true. First of all,
like I said, I naturally care for others, but I'm still. I can't actively be there for others. Kind of like you were saying with, you know, you can't be there for your friend. That's why you don't want to message her and let her know that you care and you're thinking about her. But that's only because you can't be there for, but you know, that doesn't mean you don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to let her know that I know about her aunt, because then she might need me to have a longer conversation about it.
That's why I was saying you should just let her know, look, I'm very sorry.
And I don't think that I can have...
I can't do that, yeah.
And that just pushing myself is... I don't know. I'm not at a mental place where I can do that right now.
Yeah, I understand.
But, I mean, after talking to you about it and saying it out loud, I feel like I can probably just reach out to her now. Like, that's part of the thing is, like...
I understand, because it's the same thing to me. It reminds me of the how are you. You don't want to answer that shit.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. Don't ever ask me.
And then also, what can I really do for
like,
her?
Unless you want the truth, don't ever ask me that. Dare you? How dare you ask me that question?
Well, I can't hug her. I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I can't bring her aunt back. Well, all the things that she really needs, I can't do.
Well, the thing is, though, just letting someone know that you care and are thinking about them also does matter. And it doesn't change anything, but it matters.
Yeah.
It does. I hate... Here's the thing that's funny to me is, like, it's when people tell me hi. If I was streaming, specifically, if I'm streaming and someone comes in and says, I'm just here to say hi, I love that they came to say hi, and I hate that that's the only reason that they came by. Right? So I truly appreciate the fact that they came by to say hi, and it sucks that they can't stay.
Yeah.
So, but I still really do appreciate that hello.
Like the drive-by high?
Yeah, I do appreciate that. Like, it sucks, but it's also cool. Like, you know, so that's kind of what it makes me think of is, you know, you cannot be there, unfortunately, you know, but to let someone know that you care and are thinking about them, I think that does matter.
Yeah. Also, when I read the message, it was 1:30 in the morning when I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And she could have been up.
Yeah.
She could have been asleep. I don't know, because, like, some people just leave their phones on all night. Mm. And I know that she'll ignore me if she wants to, but...
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's just like, when do I fucking contact her? And then I slept all the next day, and, like, anyway. So the point is, like, I'll message her. And all right. Know. But anyway, so, how we ended up in foster care.
Yes, here we go. Here's the... Now, I'll tell you this real quick, because this will probably take at least another 20 to 30 minutes, probably. I'm assuming. I'm just guessing, but we're at an hour. We're at the hour. Yeah. That's all that bacon talk, I tell you. No, so it's fine. I mean, I don't mind if you, because, like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, we already teased it twice, like, at the beginning of this podcast and the end of the last
one. So, hopefully, if we do have a listener or two, this is going to be a bit of a story. It could take 20 to 30 minutes. It could be less, but I would at least give us 20 to 30 minutes to...
You have to do something just like... Pause
and come back. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So I'm 7, you're 8, Bubba's dead.
Jeez. This is the age of death. How old are you? I'm dead years old.
It's been 2 weeks since he died. Mom's hopped up on meth. I think it's a weekend because you, me, and Mom and Renz all piled.
No, it was a weekday.
Was it a weekday?
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was a week.
I'm pretty sure because that school was open.
That school was open.
Yeah, regular classes and stuff. It was open that I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. For whatever reason, we end up piling into the car.
We're going to the park.
We went to Dunsmore. Mm-hmm. We went to Dunsmore Park.
We're just going to the park to hang out.
Is the park that has the kiddie pool, but it's only filled in summer. So it's such a disappointment for the rest of the year because there's nothing else to do there for the rest of the year.
There was the baseball field with the hill. I used to slide down the cardboard boxes.
Okay, so we get...
That was fun. I would even roll down that hill without a box. Just roll down.
I'd roll down the hill without a box, and I'd regret it, because then I'd end up itchy.
Itchy and dirty, and yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Itchy with green skin. But anyway.
Yeah.
So...
Just wings, and, you know, whatever. But I think our favorite thing was the pool.
Yeah.
But the park was fun. I liked
it. Yeah. Oh, they had a really cool teeter-totter, too.
Yeah.
It's like a group teeter-totter. That was cool. Not like one-on-one. But anyway, so we get to the park. Mom's okay. Oh, sorry. I skipped the fun part. So across from the park is a preschool. It's recess. So there's a chain across the parking lot entrance because they're using the parking lot as the recess playground. And Renz decides... Actually, he told me, Mom said, Renz, and I think I remembered this later, but I had always blamed him for this. She's like, Renz, pull into this parking lot.
It does seem like something I would blame Renz for.
And I was furious at him for years. And finally, like, it wasn't until he got on dialysis that I was like, why did you do that? So random. And he's like, your mom told me to. Francis, pull in here. So he pulls in.
This was a chained off area.
Chained off area. And so he's like, got the
chain. We actually drove through the chain, right?
The chain like goes up over the car.
And this is inside of a school.
Yeah.
We went through the driveway with the chain that was across to block cars from going through.
Yeah. Circled around the parking lot. The teachers are moving children out of the way.
I don't remember the children being in front of the car, though.
It wasn't so much that they were in front of the cars that... Is that
they were just making sure
because
they were
he
safe.
Did a circle.
Yeah.
First, the teachers moved the kids this way, and then they moved the kids this way.
I don't remember that.
To get out of the way of the car.
That's
a trip, man. And it's all like 2 and 3 year olds. It's a fucking preschool. So and then he like exits the same way with the chain up over the car. And like I'm scared, like because when the
it
chain
was weird. Yeah.
So first of all, I'm just like he's just gonna run into that chain. It's gonna wreck the car. And then it didn't. It goes up over the hood, and I'm just like it's gonna break the windshield. And it doesn't. It just goes up overhead. I was like, it's going to break the back window. Because I'm familiar with glass. And I'm not used to thinking of glass as like.
I kept thinking the chain was going to do something.
Yeah. Scared the shit out of me. And then we come back out and everything's fine. We go across the street. Mom's unpacking the picnic.
Literally across from the preschool. We just drove through the chain.
So the cops roll up. And they get out and they're talking to Mom and Renz.
Calmly, too, if I remember right. Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you know, there was a car fitting this description that drove through a child's playground just about 20 minutes ago.
We drove through school for no reason at all. And then we go across the street to the park. That's why we were there. Did we even know why Mom wanted to drive?
It was meth. They did meth before we got in the car. Like, I don't know why.
What the hell, dude?
So,
oh, look, there's a chain of drive-through. Let's see.
They're like, no, Ossifer, we have no idea what you're talking about. That wasn't us. That sounds horrible. What terrible people would do that? And by the way, you and I are just standing there because the good parts of the park were down the hill. And Mom said, she's like, go wherever you want, play, do whatever while we're setting up this picnic. But stay in eyesight.
Yeah, okay.
And the park was all fucking hills. And so the playground with the merry-go-round and the teeter-totter was down a hill. Mm. And the softball field was down a hill. So we're just standing there. Like, what do we do? Climb a fucking tree?
Weren't we near, like, a swing set, though?
No!
We were just near a barbecue or something?
Yeah. So it was like the picnic tables. There was fucking nothing to play around on. So we're just standing there, and then we're just watching the cops talk to Mom and Renz. And then finally, like, Renz is just like, So Renz is talking about how he's Jesus Christ.
He did, right? He said he was Jesus. Oh my gosh.
And Mom pipes in, and I'm Jesus's helper. Finally,
my sister remembers most of the stuff far better than I ever could.
It's because I've retold myself this story so many goddamn times because I couldn't fucking believe it the first time it happened. So eventually it becomes clear to Mom and Renz that the cops don't believe that they're about to be saved by Jesus Christ and his helper. So Mom packs up the picnic. They put it back in the car. We all get in the car, including Mom and Renz, and Renz starts driving at 10 miles an hour home, which takes, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes because he's going 10 miles an hour, and the cop is...
And we didn't live that far from the park.
We kind of lived, 20 minutes away, 15, 20 minutes away, driving at a regular speed. Though. Yeah. But we're going so slow that the cop at the beginning just runs up alongside the car and knocks on the window. Renz rolls it down.
I don't remember this shit at all.
How can I help you, Ossifer? I keep saying Ossifer.
Yeah,
it's officer. He wasn't saying Ossifer. He wasn't drunk. He was high on meth.
Crystal's just weird right now.
Ossifer. officer. How can I help you, officer?
I tell you, it's because we have no respect for God.
One of your best friends is a cop.
I know. I love him, too.
Okay. So he's like, could you please pull over, sir? And Renz is like, no, officer, I don't want to do that. And so he rolls the window back up. We continue driving. Now, Mom starts reading from the Bible.
Oh, my gosh. I do not remember.
I'm screaming. I'm like, tell Renz to pull over because he'll listen to her. I know he'll listen to her.
Wow.
I was like, tell him to pull over, Renz. Tell him to pull over. Mom finally turns around. She's like, Crystal, be quiet. And she was so fucking insane that I just shut up.
Oh my God.
I was just like, this is crazy. And then she starts reading from the Bible. What I didn't realize at the time that she was carrying around the Bible and a broken cuckoo clock that she believed was the Ark of the Covenant.
What is the Ark of the Covenant?
It's the thing in Indiana Jones that when you open it, it melts Nazis.
Wow, I wish we had one of those.
Would be really helpful this day and age.
I remember a cuckoo clock, but I wish I could remember this stuff as well as you do.
I
remember being in the back seat, but I don't remember.
Part of it is that I remember it. Part of it is that I talked to her about it, and she filled in a lot of the gaps and the whys, like the meth. I didn't know she was on meth at the time.
I did not know anything. Holy crap, man.
So the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be
Do you remember what she was reading in the Bible?
No.
Okay. I'm very curious what she was reading.
Renz would probably remember. You can ask him when he comes over in 2 days.
He probably would remember. I mean, he might not if he was on meth too, though.
Well, I think it was specific. I remember she remembered what she was reading, but I don't remember what it was. I was like, I never learned her stories like forever because I just thought if I had a question, I could just re-ask her, you know. And you didn't know she was gonna die like an asshole.
You're so
So
stupid. Why would you? I'm kidding. Why wouldn't you know she'd die? Oh my gosh.
So the Ark of the Covenant, the real like fabled thing, is supposed to be a piece of an essence of God's spirit, and the reason that you die when you look at it is because you just as a human you can't
Can't
understand
handle
it.
it. Okay.
So it's not just the Nazis that die when they look at it; it's anybody who like opens it up will die. So she's the broken cuckoo clock. She thinks is Ark of the Covenant. So she's carrying around a broken cuckoo clock. She's got a Bible. She's reading from the Bible. We get home. We pull in, and the cops like they take Rins out.
They had followed us the whole time.
Yeah, well, we
Like,
weren't
didn't we have
going very
lights on the whole
fast.
time?
I
I think
think
they had, if
so.
they didn't have the siren on, they had lights on the
They had
whole
lights on for
time.
sure, yeah. But yeah, and there was a train by the time we got home. Like it was started out with one cop
I
car.
forgot there was at least a few.
Yeah. So
I forgot all
they get
about the
Rins out of the
train and the
car.
cops,
Yeah.
man. Oh my
They get
gosh.
Rins out of the car. And they put him on the ground and they're cuffing him and then they get mom on the I don't know if she gets on the ground or not. When in my memory, because I talked about this later, I was so traumatized and I hated cops because in my memory I'd seen those like billy clubs that they have like strapped to their sides, and I pictured them like taking them out and beating her with it. And because I pictured that at that time, like scared, like that was how I remembered it. And I talked to her later, she's like, no. Like they put handcuffs on her, but they were very nice to her.
Because she's white. We're white people.
Oh yeah, if it's not clear by the fact that none of us is dead, we're
Yeah. Gods, we're sorry to the black people.
we are sorry, and we're glad that this didn't happen to you because you would be dead.
Yes.
So they put mom. Oh, so we're in the back. We're still in the back seat, and
Were
I.
we? I thought we were out by then.
Nope. I'm hysterical, and I'm like, I've got you and me in the middle of the car because usually we sit like next to the
Across
door.
the
So I've got you, well, just stay in the middle, just stay in the middle. They can't get us, they can't get us. And finally, like the cop,
Wow, I don't even really remember that
you
at
were just
all.
like, okay, and like
Jeez.
you were just like, I guess if she wants me to stay in the middle of the car, I'll stay in the middle of the car. Finally, the cop, like, he's like, what's your birthday? And he's just like, gets me to start talking, and he's like, can you come out of the car? So I get out of the car, like I let you go, and then you get out one side, and I get out the other side,
Wow.
and we all get in the back of the cop car with mom, who is handcuffed. We're not.
I can't, man, I can't even barely remember that too. That's
Yeah,
crazy.
so we're in the back of the cop
'Cause I
car.
can picture like when we were in the driveway.
Yeah.
Like, you know what's weird to me?
Huh.
Because the way you describe, I can picture having watched it all from outside of the car.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's really weird because that's how I can picture it. Like
Yeah.
I can remember the driveway and the cops everywhere and them getting handcuffed. And I can picture it from outside of the car. So that's very
Interesting.
strange, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the full timeline on all this. All I know is I was fucking traumatized. And I know that Renz was on the ground, and I thought mom was on the ground
I
getting
thought so
beaten
too.
at the time, but I don't
Maybe not
know.
beaten, but I thought they put her on the ground as well.
She might have been on the ground and they handcuffed her, but they
I
didn't beat
think
her
they put her
with
on the
their billy
ground.
clubs. So we're
'Cause they
all
were resisting, but not like
they didn't.
physically hardcore
They
fighting
were
back kind of
yeah.
a
They were just
thing.
more like chilled out.
Like I
Like
think they were like cussing at him, weren't they?
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
Fuck, what am I remembering?
You could be remembering right. I don't remember that part. I remember
I thought they
once.
were cussing him out. Not like, again, not like physically fighting them, but cussing him out.
What way would that be for Jesus and his helper to be behaving
Oh,
jerk?
anyways.
So we get in the back of the car. Mom's got her hands like cuffed behind her, and you and I are not cuffed, but we're on the back seat. And mom just
Were
looked
we on
around.
each side of her?
No, we were. She was on the left, and we were both on the right.
Okay.
And mom just looks around. She's just like, I always wondered what it would be like in the back of one of these. And I remember
Has she
asking.
not been in one of those before? That's so
No,
funny.
she was white, so even though she'd
Oh,
committed a lot of crimes,
that's
she
true.
had never been arrested.
Okay.
And she wasn't actually arrested at this point. She was just detained. So
Yeah,
she had the cuffs on, but she was never like
taken, driven somewhere.
She's not arrested or like charged with anything.
Yeah, okay.
She
was like, I always wondered what it'd be like.
Yeah, and I remember I was like, why would you? That was such a stupid thing to say. She's like, I had two hysterical children. I was trying to keep them calm, you know, so I had to be calm.
Oh my. That actually makes sense. That's kind of funny and messed up, but it makes sense. Oh my gosh, dude, that's so insane.
Yeah, so then we ended up in foster care. So like a few hours later, we went to spend the night with that Armenian couple in Glendale, who were adopting the kid that was already living there. And we slept on the floor, and the man had a typewriter, but he would barely let me play with it. And I was so furious because I thought I would wait for him to go to bed so I would play with it, but he told me not to. He's like, I'm going to bed. Don't play with the typewriter. It's not a toy.
That's so funny that you want to play
like,
with the
typewriter. I was like, I know it's not a toy. I want to write a book.
That's my sister, ladies and gentlemen. That's that's straight up my sister right there.
I was the most adult 6-year-old. Yeah.
She has always been very special. That's pretty awesome. That's funny. It's not a toy. I want to write a book, you bastard. That was wrong with you. What else would you use a typewriter for?
I want you to write important reports. Tap, tap, tappity, tap, 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 tap.
Wow, man. Is there any more to that?
Not that I remember.
No, because I don't remember. Like, I can sort of tiny bit. Like, I remember the typewriter-ish thing, and I can remember the floor, but I don't remember them as people. I don't remember.
They were very cold.
Okay.
My
memory sucks, too, though. Like,
they didn't become... part of it, again, is, like, me, like, talking about this to Mom, and she filled in a lot of blanks for me. So they weren't... And they didn't tell us this at the time, but they weren't foster parents. They were from Armenia. They'd come over here. They had settled themselves, like started a business or something, and they were established. And so they wanted to adopt an Armenian child.
They were looking into it.
And the way that they got into it was through foster care. So he was a foster kid that they were about to adopt.
How did we end up with them, though? Were they just the closest people that were adopting or whatever?
They were literally, because we were like, okay, so Sunland Tahunga doesn't have their own police station. Glendale's the closest.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
So we were taken to the Glendale police station, so they're looking for foster families in the area. What's the closest one? And so they happened to have a floor for us to sleep on. It was the best they could do in that short time. Mm-hmm. So we were there for 3 days, 3.5 days, I think. No, a week and a half. We were there for a week and a half.
And I don't even remember them at all.
I remember there was an apartment building next door that I think was for old people. And we would go over and play in the elevator, and the old people would watch movies, like on a projector. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember that?
No.
I remember you and the kids, like, sneaking over to watch the movie, and I didn't want to be caught by an adult because I didn't want to get kicked out. So I'd just play in the elevator, and you guys would do whatever, and then I'd wander around.
I don't remember the projector at all.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like a room where everybody would gather and watch the movie. But I was like, it's a bunch of old people. They're going to notice kids.
But they won't care. They're old. Like, you know, like we're just kids. What are we going to do?
I didn't think at the time that they would assume that they were somebody's grandkids because I had such an identity to my family that I thought it's obvious that I'm this person's child. Like, I thought that a stranger would know, looking at me and Mom, that I'm her daughter. Which they probably would, because we looked alike.
Yeah.
But it didn't occur to me that it wouldn't be immediately obvious that...
We didn't belong in an old people home?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, because you could have been one of their grandchildren. It didn't occur to me that you would be mistaken for somebody else's grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
If you were seen by other old people.
All right, so... Wow, what a ride. That is mostly my sister's story of us.
I know, well, that's... okay.
No, I'm fine with that. Like I said, I a lot of that... I don't even remember the, like you said, the first people we stayed with. I cannot remember them at all.
Yeah.
Like, at all. I don't... And I can barely picture the projector thing, but I think that's just me trying to picture it rather than actually remembering it, you know?
Yeah, well, there was literally nothing for us to do all day, but she just didn't want us inside.
Yeah. So, anyways, so there's our story.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like why I wanted to do this podcast with you, is I wanted to be like, where were you? What do you remember?
And so, and it's funny. So my, when my first sister was first, we've talked about this before we do these podcasts, and we'll finish this up here a couple minutes. And this is, wow, what a ride, man. And it's funny because this is not the first time we've talked about this. We've talked about it a couple times. Never really did a podcast for it. We do have a little bit more going on here. But so the thing about it, and anybody I've ever talked to in my streams and stuff, or you know, whatever, it's usually in my streams because that's usually when I talk about it. But I mean, I can't remember crap, you know, like I don't remember anything. That's why I'm the fact that I can picture our home before we left Ohio when I was 4 years old, the fact that I can picture it, and I can picture, I always forget what hand it was now. Because it was so long ago,
Oh,
I think it was
yeah.
this one, but I can remember picturing the blood literally spurting out of my hand, and I don't remember. Mom would tell me that story. We can get into that in another podcast. It'll just be a short one, but like she told me how calm I was, and even when they were stitching me up, like I was just watching them fascinated by me. But I literally had blood just spurting out of my hand,
You
just
were not calm.
gushing.
You were not calm when they stitched you up after you got bit by that dog.
Right. Yeah, and that was years later though, wasn't
It
it?
was years
I
later.
think I learned to fear things at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 'cause I remember just being I remember I was in the hallway outside listening to you scream, and I kept trying to go in the room because I was like, "They're hurting him. They're hurting him."
Right, anyways, so we do have more things to talk. I was just saying, like, my memory is pretty terrible.
So the part of the reason that I can tell the story from like more
Because you've,
nuanced
like you
is
said, you've talked about it repeatedly.
rehashed it so many times, especially in my own mind, because these are the stories like the face blindness story and the how we got into foster care story are the stories that kind of defined where my childhood went wrong and why I grew up so fucked up and scared all the time. Because I couldn't trust that my own parents were my own
Yeah,
parents,
that's pretty
and
nuts.
I couldn't trust anybody after Dina fucked me up so bad, because like,
This was our cousin, one of our cousins.
yeah, I shared a room with her for over a year, and she was so insanely jealous and like so like psychologically traumatized from like two pedophile father figures, at least two,
So she was
between
also
two and
messed up,
four,
but yeah, so man, what
that
a.
she was just incredibly cruel to me, and she like. She controlled every second of my waking and some of my sleeping time while I was there. And so between that and like the face blindness and the already like being kind of reticent about being around other, at before Bubba died, I didn't have a problem being around other people. I just didn't care to.
That's what a trip, man. God. So, well, here's something. As we finish this continuously, finishing our things, but I don't know. It seems to me that you were far more traumatized than I was from our childhoods.
So I think because I'm just going based on your behavior, and our behavior was very different. Like I was as conformist as you can possibly get, and you just could not seem to rebel enough.
It's not on purpose.
I don't, I mean,
I don't go out of my way to
and
be rebellious, you
I
know what I
wasn't
mean?
consciously like, I mean, I guess I was sort of consciously like, I have to be perfect, otherwise I'm gonna be punished. But like,
I naturally don't accept control.
yeah.
Naturally.
I also had a theory because our dad was so cruel that you would get in trouble on purpose to like protect me and Bubba from, because if you were getting
I don't.
punished,
I'll tell you what, in my mind, I never.
well, yeah. But that's the thing, when you're that young, a lot of it is subconscious, you know, because me and Bubba were so much smaller and you were pretty protective when
Was
we
I?
were
I don't
young.
remember that either.
Mom said that you and I were inseparable, and that
Yeah.
like if you
Well, I do remember that.
she said that if you saw one kid coming around the corner, you knew the other one was right behind.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, no, I mean, it took me, I wasn't until my 30s when I recognized, like, and I started saying my sister has been my best friend my whole life. I would think about it because people were talking about who's your best friend. People talk about best friends all the time, you know? And I'm just like, and I always had a hard time with that because I had good friends that I respected very much, but I was never really that close. Jonathan was probably the closest friend I had, so I do consider him a best friend, but even he wasn't as close as me and you, which is weird because we spent every day together for years, mm-hmm. all day, you know?
Yeah.
so, but he, you know, but I always had it always seemed so easy for people to talk about their best friends. And I was like, who? The closest I could say was Jonathan, but my sister, and it took me a long time to recognize that, though.
And Jonathan wasn't even till high school.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
There was Mike when you were in junior high. He lived around the corner with a redhead.
Was that his name, Michael? There was Jesse. Jesse was the guy right in our backyard, literally in our backyard.
Yeah.
Because his backyard connected to our backyard.
Wasn't it Michael and then Jesse?
Michael was next door to him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Jesse was the one in our backyard, and then Michael was the one down. And I wasn't as close with Michael as I was.
Yeah, Michael was kind of an asshole. Jesse was really sweet. But I think Michael was, like, he became cooler. I think he had red hair.
Kind of had a grow on you and whatever.
he had red hair and he was kind of, like, aggressive.
Yes. Anyway, like, that, it's funny because, like, that opens up so many more other stories to talk about. But we have to call it now, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're at another hour and a half here.
Yeah.
Like, extended again. But
I just feel weird because when you have an intense, like, experience, you do have to, like, come down off of it.
Oh, yes. Kind of normal. We can do that off this. Do you want? It's gonna be weird right?
I also mean just for the listeners too.
Oh, the screw the listeners. Like, we don't even have listeners.
I just told like just kidding, two I'm really kidding. Like traumatic and like intense stories.
So here's the thing too about that. The way my sister is describing that is, for me, it's really easy for me to just like right now I could just go put a game on,
disassociate,
put a show on, and just instantly switch off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But my sister, and this is something we've done in the past too, when we have conversations like this, we kind of have a cool off, like a little bit to end it.
We should have saved the bacon for the cool off.
Yes, we should have. oh well, whatever. Whatever, man. So I did forget about that. Mm-hmm. I did forget about the cool off kind of from the intense conversation. Well, that was pretty.
Where I learned that,
like, man.
Where I learned that, I took a creative writing class with Bart Edelman, and I say his name because I love him. Mm. And he said that there were in the 70s he had done intensive therapy sessions where like people would like be taken back into their childhoods and then have these intense recollections, and then like it'd be intense for everybody in the
like
group.
We just did.
And then
that was pretty intense, man.
And then the person would like wake up from their trance or whatever, and they'd be like, "All right, time for lunch, everybody." And then like nobody knew what to do with all that weird, like intense energy afterwards. You have to fucking cool down a little bit.
That's funny. Well, and so part of that. It's interesting. That's part of our different way we approach things or see things and whatever is like I said, it's so easy for me to just be like, boop, off to the next thing, whatever it is. Even though I feel it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that was very intense. That was, you know, but I don't know. I just shut off really easily.
Yeah, that's a defense mechanism.
Okay, that's the one.
I remember once before I quit Age of Learning, I remember I had started on the Paxil and it got me calm enough to show up to work. But also, I just remember after phones went off one day, I'm just sitting there for like 30 minutes, just with my hand on the mouse, staring at the screen, just not moving, just not thinking. And I'm just like, I should answer an email. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. All right.
Yeah, I think that's enough of a cool down. If you need to cool down further, watch Micara Tours on YouTube. She's fantastic. MicaraTewers. She's so funny. She does great sewing tutorials that are not informative at all, but are very entertaining.
And thank you very much for spending time with us and getting to know us a little bit more in our history and whatever, for no real reason other than to hang out and chat and share our stories, you know? Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say? Because she just finished it off with a recommendation. Well, what was that again? Marca Torres?
Micara Tours.
Micara Tours. What a weird name.
I sent you one of her videos and you watched part of it, I think.
Okay. I forget. You got to send me that one video that you were telling me about earlier.
Oh, yeah. Thought Slime.
Like the fighting game.
Oh, yeah.
No politics or whatever.
Is a Mortal Kombat style arguments against raising the minimum wage.
The minimum wage thing, what a stupid thing that is, too, because so many people defend that.
Why would anybody argue against, like, raising
minimum wage? Well, if you raise minimum wage, you have to raise all the other prices. And
yeah. Well, so he argues against all the arguments against minimum wage.
They're all bullshit arguments.
My favorite was his response to, if you raise the minimum wage, then these small business owners will have to go out of business. And he goes, fuck you if you can't pay your employees a livable wage.
That's the point. Is
you,
like,
should shut down.
That's what the other argument to that, too, is people are like, that's showing that your employer literally is exploiting their workers.
On purpose.
They're telling you if they go bankrupt or they have to close business because they can't pay you, they're telling you that they are exploiting you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people defend this stuff. It's insane. I'm telling you, man, we got to do another podcast on that because we'll go on for another hour at least. But So there, because there is stuff. We'll figure this out for the next one.
Okay, let's do our outro.
Oh.
So we haven't discussed this at all, but we're just going to do a quick outro and then Jeremy will just stop recording. thank you for listening to the Poor Rikes. We're very poor. This is our outro. Poor.
Bye-bye.